I'm reading the scripture from Acts chapter 2. This tells the story of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. 'In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" This ends the reading. Happy birthday, church. Today is Pentecost. Today is the day we celebrate the birth of the church. On Pentecost, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit long ago and in our midst here and now. So what I'd like for you to do is to look to the person to your right or your left and say, "Happy birthday, church." Happy birthday, church.
Happy birthday.
Pentecost is the last Sunday of the Easter season. The word Pentecost comes from the Greek word meaning 50th, because Pentecost is 50 days after the Sabbath following Passover. For Christians, Pentecost is 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. I want to begin this morning with some questions. To be honest, I didn't know the answer to these questions before somebody told me. Some of you are wearing red. I appreciate that. You may have saw the red paper on the doors as you came in. My first question is, which church in Xenia has a red door? It's up on the screen. Just raise your hand if you know it. It's good. Jan, you want to tell us? The Episcopal Church on Church Street next to the library has a red door. Now, why would a church paint a door red? If it were me, I'd put a block O on. No, oh, I'm kidding. That'd be for Fred. Practically speaking, it makes it easy for visitors to find the church door. So, for practical reasons, you could say the entrance of the church, just look for the red door. It does have symbolic meaning. The red on the door represents the blood of Christ. So they want you, as you walk into the church, to remember that as you enter the sanctuary, it's the same as when you entered into salvation. You entered salvation through the blood of Christ. They want you to know as you walk into the church that a price was paid for your salvation. As you entered the church this morning, perhaps you thought, why is the church door red? Well, now you know. To come in here, Jesus paid the price for you to enter the church, to be part of the church, and to be saved. It was on the day of Pentecost that we recall how 3,000 people entered into salvation and became members of the church. This is how the story took place. Pentecost, like Pastor Derek said, is a Jewish festival. Jewish pilgrims from all over the world came to Jerusalem for the wheat harvest. The usual smells in the city would have been overwhelmed by the smell of fresh baked bread. People would have been moving all over the city telling the stories of the Exodus and giving praise to God. But there was something different about this Pentecost. On this day, the Holy Spirit came with power on Jesus' disciples, as Jesus himself told them to expect. The Holy Spirit empowered a group of 120 disciples to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. So into this flood of Jewish pilgrims, the disciples go with power and begin to preach the gospel. Miraculously, the people from every nation around that region heard the good news of Jesus in their own language. This added to the already great commotion in the city. So, to help explain what was happening, Peter stands up and he says in the midst of the crowd, "In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." Peter's message is what I call the Pentecost paradigm. A paradigm is a model or example which is meant to be followed. Peter's message is for the people in the early church and for us today. It is a message about how God's unlimited, unconditional, and perfect love is poured out for everybody as a gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter explains that what the people were witnessing in Jerusalem was not simply an amazing miracle, it was indeed the birth of the church. A new era had begun. No longer is the day of Pentecost about the wheat festival only. The day of Pentecost is now about the bread of life coming down from heaven. This day is no longer only about the scriptures given by God on Mount Sinai. The day of Pentecost is now about the giver of the law being poured out among the people on Mount Zion. This day is no longer only about the 50 days after the death of many lambs that brought deliverance to the ancient Hebrews. The day of Pentecost is now about the 50 days after the resurrection of the Lamb of God, who has defeated sin and death. This is the Pentecost paradigm. It is as God said through the prophet Isaiah, "I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Today we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on everybody. A couple months ago, in fact at the beginning of Easter, I had the privilege of helping the youth prepare for the sunrise service. I spent 5 weeks with the youth, several Wednesday nights at youth group and one Saturday morning. We started our meetings in a circle. And as I looked around this circle of 30 to 35 youth, I saw some youth who have been a part of faith community for their entire lives, from the day that they were born. And I saw some youth who were friends who came with a member of the youth group. I saw some youth whose families have made faith community their home church. And I saw some who are members of our common cup churches. As I looked around the circle of youth, I saw a multiracial group, including whites, blacks, and even one girl from Japan. I saw some sixth graders, I saw a senior in high school, and every age in between. Most importantly, though, what I noticed is a group of youth who come from very diverse backgrounds, yet they hold their faith in common. At youth group, some youth are working out exactly what they believe, and some hold strong convictions. Youth group is a place for youth to safely share their doubts, joys and concerns, and personal struggles. It is a place to offer support, to grow, and to feel God's love. I think the strength of unity in the youth group comes from how well they embrace their diversity in God's love. The youth, in my opinion, are living out the Pentecost paradigm. I don't know why that's causing that. Sorry. On the day of Pentecost, after God declares that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, the church grew rapidly. The Bible says that 3,000 people became a part of the church, and these were people who came from all over the world. If there was ever a list in the Bible that represents diversity in the church, it is this verse from the book of Acts. There were Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. I've practiced that many times. This is a very diverse group of people. They come from different backgrounds and customs. They come with different world views, ideologies, and perspectives. They spoke different languages. Yet no matter how much difference there was between these groups of people, they all shared God's Holy Spirit, who binds them together in love and language. I believe the strength of our unity in the church was and still is a reflection of how well we embrace our diversity in God's love. This was the reality in the early church. This is the model that they have set for us to follow. This is the reality in the youth group. It is the Pentecost paradigm. Now let me raise some questions for your consideration. Kind of keep your answers to yourself. You can share these in Sunday school. What is our ecclesial reality here at Faith Community? Are we a church that builds bridges of understanding, or are we a church that is going to circle the wagons against the unfamiliar, strange, or just plain different? I believe the church should be a community where all people can feel safe, loved, nurtured, and empowered to serve. We may not always agree, and that's okay. I believe the church should be a place of inclusivity. Nobody should be excluded because they're different. Will we be perfectly inclusive? No. We all struggle with preconceived notions, cultural biases and opinions, and underlying assumptions. We are not perfect. We need things like our social principles, safe sanctuary policy, staff handbook, and financial audits, to hold ourselves accountable to each other and to God. All of us have work to do to be the people God wants us to be. I believe the church should be a place where all people can come to understand that God made all of us, God loves all of us, and God smiles on all of us. The forgiveness of Jesus is available to all. The blood of Jesus pardons the sins of all. When you came into the church today, every one of us came through the red door. Salvation is a gift. Charity, mutuality, and grace should be the virtues that all church members strive to live by. Archbishop Desmond Tutu said, "Differences are not intended to separate, to alienate. We are different precisely in order to realize our need for one another. How we embrace our diversity is one of the greatest blessings we can offer the world." Today is Pentecost. Today is the beginning of a new era. God is doing a new thing. You entered the church today through a red door that's symbolic of the blood of Christ. We enter salvation through the cost that Christ paid on our behalf. In a moment, you will leave through the red door. Exiting out the red door has a different meaning. As in our United Methodist symbol of cross and flame, the red is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. So as you exit today through the red door, remember you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. You are empowered to proclaim the gospel. You are empowered to serve the world. You are empowered to embrace the diversity of all God's people to the praise and glory to His name. Happy birthday, church. May it be blessed.